Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon from Luke 15, 1 through 32, titled, Lost, Found, Celebration.
The longer you look, the more you see. That's true in great works of art like Rembrandt's The Return of the Prodigal. Henry Nouwen spent a week in the museum there in St. Petersburg just staring at this. And every day and every moment he would see something new, and little by little it emerged and there were new keys and new understandings, and it became the core of the book he wrote called The Return of the Prodigal. It's a meditation on our story this morning through this one amazing piece of art. What is true for art and what is true for scripture in general is true for particularly the story. The more we look at it, the more things emerge. I have preached this story, I have read this story, I have studied this story, and every time I come, I find something new, and that's true of this time as well. We already know some of the things. We know that this is part of Luke chapter 15, and there are three stories that are very similar. They have the same theme. We might know that. We might know that each of the stories starts with something was lost, and in great effort to find it, and once it was found, then there's a great celebration. It starts with a shepherd and sheep. He goes and he looks, he finds it, and then he calls his neighbors to celebrate with him. The next story has to do with a woman who loses a coin of great value, and she tears the house apart. She finds it. The next thing she does is she calls her neighbors and they have a celebration. Jesus is setting up a story here. He says, now there's this father who had two sons. And we're going to find out, as we know, that has something to do with something that was lost, something that is found, and then again, a celebration. But there is a key to this that I hadn't seen before that I think unlocks this story in a new way. And it's more than just for the sake of a story in the Bible. It has to do with, it unlocks, I think, the story of God in a new way, which means it also unlocks the story of us in a new way and points new direction and purpose for our own life. And it has to do with this little word right at the beginning, Father. The younger son says, give me my share of the inheritance. I'm teaching a class on prayer right now at Lent, and one of the ways we all come to prayer is we come asking God for stuff. That's how we approach God. Lord, give me. Please give me. And we try to figure out ways that God will give us what we are asking for. And some of us think that's the whole point of prayer, and at some point it is. And we're always surprised when at some point we realize that's maybe not what it is, even to the point that some people say, well, then if prayer is not about asking God for stuff, then what's the point of praying? 1,000 years ago, a guy named Bernard of Clairvaux, Saint Bernard to you and me, 1,000 years ago, he writes this amazing treatise on love. It is still a classic today. And I say this not to impress you with history, although that's pretty impressive, but just to let you know that this is a path that has been well trod. This journey with God and trying to understand who God is and what God wants and who it is we are. And he says, you know, the first step with love has to do with beginning to love yourself for the sake of yourself. You tend to yourself, you focus on yourself because that's you and you focus on it. And we all start there. I think God tries to tease us out of that when he says, now go and love your neighbor as yourself. Tend to focus on your neighbor the same way you do to yourself. But the second step, he says, once you've gotten past, or as you build on loving yourself for the sake of self, is you begin to love God for the sake of yourself. I love God because of what God has done for me. God has given me grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Thank you, God, for all the things that you have done for me. That's perfectly understandable. It's a next step of love. But if we stop there, even though it's an important and necessary step, we run the real risk of missing the point. The younger son says, give me my stuff. And for whatever reason, the father grants him his wish, and it just about kills him. He goes out and makes a mess of his life. There's that old saying about when the gods are angry, they grant your prayers. Well, in this case, it just about killed the younger son to the point that he wakes up and he's blown all his money and he's blown all whatever self-respect he has, and he has burned every bridge. And he finally wakes up and says he came to him and said, I'm in the wrong place. That is the essence, by the way, of the word lost. We sometimes use the word lost with a moral tone, someone who's lost, and somehow that carries a lot of moral tones to it. In the Bible, it just literally means you're out of place. You're in the wrong place. Now, sometimes that place can be bad, and sometimes it can have terrible consequences, like the younger son. But it's the younger son going, I'm lost. I'm out of place. I don't belong here. And so he decides to return home. And when he returns home, he realizes, as we realize in the story, that he's not the only one that's lost. He's not the only one that's in the wrong place. We find this older brother who is also, even though he's at home, he's just as much in a strange and foreign land. The younger son was where he was out of rebellion. The older son is standing outside because of resentment. And they end up both having the same approach to the father. At the end of the story, when the father goes out, the older brother has the same phrase, you never gave me. And so now this is the contention. But it still has a different strategy, but it's the same assumption that God is there, that the father is there, and I love, I respect, and I am dutiful and obey to the extent that what I ask for, I get. It has to do with what you give me, God. And it leaves them both in the wrong place. It leaves us all in the wrong place, whether it is out of rebellion or resentment, whether it is out of a feeling of being banished, or we just busy ourselves to the point of distraction that we don't have to deal with that life isn't making sense, or that it's our own judgmentalism that's causing a lot of the problems, or it has to do with the fear of the past and the anxiety, or the fear and the anxiety in the present. It doesn't matter. We're all in the wrong place, all of us sometime. And all of us need to hear the invitation of the Father. Come. Come home. And we get to do that to the degree, I think, that we are ready for step three. Step three in Bernhard's understanding of love is there comes this time, this corner that we turn, when we begin to love God for the sake of God. It's just who God is. Ultimately, we don't pray so that we can ask God for stuff, but it's so that we can be with and commune with God, our Creator, our Source, the great lover of our life and soul. We don't come to worship just to somehow check off a box of being good. We worship because God is worthy of worship, and we adore because of who God is. And boy, does that change the way we worship. We don't serve out of a sense of obligation and duty. We serve because this is where we find, discover, and commune with God and find the very heart of God. We begin to love God for the sake of God. And when that happens, a revolution begins to take shape. God is no longer, any more than the Father any longer, is this God who is this deity who has to have his holiness or his pride massaged because he's been done wrong. In our story, the Father says, enough of that. And he just shames himself, and he doesn't care. He runs past everybody when he sees the younger son and makes an absolute fool of himself and practically tackles his young son before the young son can get that piddly little speech that he's prepared ahead of time. Grabs him and decides the lost has been found, and now it's time to have a party, and everybody comes, and they may not understand all the reasoning and the rationale and the logic of it, but they understand the father's very happy and he wants a party, and so people come except one person. In this story, it's the older brother. And now he's in the wrong place. He's the one who's standing on the outside looking in. In those days, of course, this would have been a great offense, but A father could care less about appearances and decides to go out and does the unthinkable. He begs and he pleads with this other rebellious now son. He says, please, come on. Try to see this from my point of view. Try not to see this from the point of view of just me and my. Try to see this not just from the point of you. Try to see this now from we, how I see this. There's this movement between me and then to God, to you, and now the Father saying, try to catch what I'm seeing here. There's a great we. Your brother was lost, dead, now he's found. We have to celebrate. The story sort of stops right there, because it's waiting for the answer of the older brother. We're waiting to see what he will do. Will he catch it? Will he get out of this me to you? Will he move to the we of God, the great we of God, the celebration that God is longing for and waiting for and wanting? We'd be tempted to stop right there, and we could, but I think the more we look at this story, I think there's one more aspect to it. And I get that from that lens of love that Bernard gave us, because he said, you know what, there's a fourth step. And when I put that lens on it, I put that on this story and look at it, it opens up in a new way. He says there's another fourth step that sometimes we get to. It's when we begin to love ourselves for the sake of God. Did you catch that? We went all the way around the circle. First, we love ourselves for the sake of self. Then we begin to love God for the sake of ourselves. Then we get to this radical place where we begin to enjoy, tend to focus on God for the sake of God and who God is. But then we complete the circle. He says, when we once in a while get to the point, we begin to love ourselves for the sake of God. We begin to see ourselves and tend to ourselves in the light of how God sees us. And then we move from me to you to we. And now the great invitation is to be part of the great us of God. Because we begin to see and take care of ourselves and see ourselves the way God sees us. And as we do, as we begin to see ourselves as the beloved, we begin to see ourselves and our life as this great trajectory. It is who we are in our beginning, the origin of who we are. It is also the culmination of who we are. In all of our life, it gets spent into living as the beloved. And as we do, we begin to see the world through the same eyes and begin to see one another through the same eyes. And we begin to see the people who even used to be our enemy as beloved of God too. And everything changes even more. We get this invitation of God saying, come on, I want you to be part of the we, so that we get to tend to the yes and to the us. The work of expanding us. So it includes your younger brother, and it includes all those who are lost. It includes those who are in the wrong place, whether it's of their own doing or whether everything just caved in on them, had nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter. You get to take care of and see the heart of God, and now it's calling you, and we get to be part of the work of us, and we begin to look for others who are in the wrong place. Maybe it's the wrong place because they see God in such small ways and see themselves that way too. Maybe it has nothing to do with anything they've done. It means they don't have the means, they don't have the housing, they don't have the food, they don't have the protection. Or maybe they've just made a royal mess of their life. It doesn't matter, they're in the wrong place. They are beloved. Will you be a part of that? Will you extend yourself? Will you stand in support and encourage? Will you help people know they're not alone? Will you take care of those who are wounded or discouraged or dismissed? It doesn't matter, they're beloved. Can you do that? Because when you do, now you have unlocked the key to this story. The more you have unlocked the key to the story of God, this is what God is about. You miss this, you miss God. But more, you miss this, you miss you. This is who you are. This is what we were made for. When we begin to catch that this is the key to a life that has a greater purpose and a greater meaning, a greater vitality, a greater energy, oh my goodness, things begin to change. And when you say yes to that, you can almost hear the music in the background that's been playing, waiting for the celebration of the beloved.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace.